Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Peace of mind comes as standard with a Kia 7-year warranty.
1850 715 815. Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551, wash your hands. Well, Fionnuala Flanagan, the Irish actress based in Hollywood at the moment, put the cat among the pigeons yesterday when she launched on this programme an excoriating attack on President Donald Trump. And people have reacted to it, including Justin King from Madison in the USA. Justin, good afternoon. There'll be a delay. I know you're originally from Clifton and Galway. What did you think of what Fionnuala said, which is basically press aid saying he's stupid, he's uneducated, he's leading people down a cul-de-sac? What's your reaction, Justin?
She's not wrong. I spoke to you in 2016 when he got elected, and I said at the time that it was not going to go good. And it hasn't. I mean, he's seriously, I've never seen anybody lie so fast than that fella. I mean, he just makes stuff up like nonstop. It's like the news shows here and stuff. I mean, I don't put an awful lot of stock in them because they're part of the reason he's getting so much airtime, right? But like, they fact check him, and like literally every second thing that he says is a lie, and he creates an environment where it's okay to be a racist. It's okay to say really nasty things about people of color. It's like, oh God, he's the worst. America has a lot of challenges, but he is like the worst thing that has happened to the place. He's worse than George W. Bush. I mean, and he was not exactly the brightest, bulb in the box himself, but my God, he looks like a statesman compared to this fella. He's like running. On any given day, the stuff that he comes up with is absolutely, it's like sometimes you just have to laugh at it. It's so outlandish. He's got a huge chunk of the population who are buying into everything that he's saying, which doesn't say an awful lot about a good 50% of the population here. Mm-hmm. I think some of them are starting to see it, but he's like diabolical. Jesus, I tell you. Lesser countries. Okay, let me put this in context for you, right? I've got two children who are school age here, and they were at school. This was 2 years ago now, maybe, discussing. They were discussing, the assassinations that had taken place against, I think it was Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy and stuff like that. Okay. And the kids came home and they were sitting down at the table at dinner talking about it. And my younger fellow said to me, he said, Daddy, he said, I'm surprised, he said, that nobody has assassinated Donald Trump yet. And I'm like, why? He said, well, he said, I'm doing this thing, he said, in history at school. I don't think they call it history, but something like history at school. And he said, Americans have killed people for less. They have killed better people for less. And I'm like, this is 2 years ago before he's even like hit his stride properly.
Well, make sure your son doesn't say that in school, or the Secret Service will be around to his hall door. You know that.
Well, you see, well, here's the trick, right? Even saying it on, even talking about it is like, I mean, what are they going to do? They'll what? What'll they do to you for saying it? I mean,
well, they can arrest. It's pretty serious to threaten the President of the United States of America.
Well, he wasn't threatening them. He was just saying that, like, this is a consideration that they've had, given the fact that someone else.
One website we looked up this morning, and there's a number of them who tally and fact check what Trump says, what President Trump says since his inauguration in January 2017. He has told, according to them, 5,276 lies, basically, including repeating some of them. That's 5,276 individual lies, and he's repeated some of them up to 146 times.
Well, the killer is, you know them, you hear them, you can tell, and you can also see too when he's on television and when he's being interviewed and stuff. I was just looking at something on the internet this morning. Like you can just watch the change in he's got the line that he's supposed to read or the lines that he's supposed to read, and you can watch him go off topic. And the minute he goes off topic, he starts just telling lies. And the interesting thing was, in the beginning of all of this, the media, they weren't used to this. This was like uncharted territory to have a president who was so completely willing to like literally just make stuff up, right? And so they had out of words for lies before they actually started calling them lies. They were falsehoods and mistruths and, you know, all these other things before they eventually were like, okay, you know what, the guy is just telling lies.
And what was the reaction when he announced in the last 24 hours again that he has been taking hydroxychloroquine for what? Chloroquine for the last 10 days?
Honestly, let him off.
What do you mean?
You know, yeah. Someone else said they did a study in the VA, and that, you know, it was not good. It was bad. The outcome of the test was not good. So, you know, if he wants to take it, then, you know, I can't stop him. You know, I live in Wisconsin, and we just had a the court here just ruled that the governor's stay home, stay safe policy was unconstitutional, and so it was cast down. And the minute that it was cast down, people were off out into the pubs, out into the bars, no face masks, no anything.
Donald Trump celebrate by a tweet that she was overruled?
Yes.
He was pleased.
And the thing is, like, I mean, I watch the way Ireland is conducting its business right now, and I watch the way the rest of the world is, and my wife and I, we watch Reuters news in the evenings on the telly and stuff like that, and we see the way the rest of the world is doing what it's doing, and it's like, Ireland is doing a fine job. I mean, it's hard. I get it. I'm really lucky. I have a job right now, and that I can do it from home. And so I count my blessings every morning when I get up and do my job. And I know how hard it is. But the thing is, there's not much point in having an economy if you have nobody alive to actually, like, be part of the economy and help it, like, do its thing, right? And so when I look at these people going out, I'm like, you know what? They are given every opportunity to exercise common sense and stay home, or at least practice some kind of safety. And the you know, they always say that the fish rots from the head down, I think is an expression.
Yeah.
It's like the leadership is so bad. If you took everything else that the man is out of it, and that his Republican party is and stands for these days. I mean, I know what it means to be a Republican and live at home in Ireland. And, you know, I know what the Irish Republican Army was from growing up in the 70s and stuff. And I know what their mission was. And I know what their goal was, to separate Ireland from England and have Ireland be its own country. That's one thing. Whatever these guys are now, they're not for a republic. They may have been once upon a time, but they are for the consolidation of wealth and power in a very small few.
Okay, say there, Justin. Joe at rt.ie from anywhere in the world, and 51551, wash your hands, the text number. Mike Kelleher, Mike, I presume in defending Donald Trump, you'll begin by talking about the economy BC before COVID and how well the economy was doing.
Well, Joe, the basis of my call is, I'm talking about RTE being very anti-Trump and also very anti-America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm using a little comparison here. During the reign of Obama, his 8 years, they never said one word wrong about Obama. He was the cat's meow. Now, my ways of looking at it, Obama to me was a very weak, poor president.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why in a minute. Now, go back to Trump for a minute. When I told you back in 2017 that I voted for Donald Trump.
Okay.
Yes, I did. Down in Waterford, local radio, God rest him, Billy McCarthy, would interview me on a weekly basis.
Okay.
And the question he asked me was very simple. Why are you going to vote for Donald Trump? And I said, the man doesn't turn me on. In fact, quite the opposite. But the only alternative is to vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton, to me, was a total disaster. She was a disaster as Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
And when she done that, all she done was travel the world, bumming money for the Clinton Foundation, which was nothing but Bill and Hillary's ass pocket. Now, the reason I voted for Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying he's great or anything. In fact, the previous man there said a lot of things But the only thing that I find out about Donald Trump, and let me explain them briefly.
Mm-hmm.
We fought a war in 1856 called the Crimean War. Russia tried to annex that area, and they didn't succeed. That became famous with Cardigan and the charge of the Light Brigade. Other than that, we'd never know about it. Now, a few years back, Donald Trump just walked into the Crimea and said, that's mine. He knew he could do it
Putin walked
because Obama was weak. And Obama was going to do nothing about it. Now, one other thing that happened at the same shortly after that, a Malaysian airline was brought down, flying international space, with a Russian in charge of the missile.
Yeah.
He's back in Russia now. He can't be extradited. They're trying to do it there. Now, the one that really gets up my, I say my throat, I was picking another place. But do you remember the seven sailors who were kidnapped in the Gulf of Hormuz fixing a buoy, electronic buoy? They were on a destroyer. They went on to a rubber dinghy, and they were fixing it. And an Iranian speedboat came around and swamped their dinghy, and they were captured.
Okay, and hang on, Mike. Your argument there is that, and it was an argument. It was an argument put up against Obama for Syria as well, that his red line was chemical weapons, and then when Assad used chemical weapons, he forgot about the red line. This is, and there was disagreement within the regime. This is documented in Samantha Power, his UN ambassador's own book. But your point is, I want to go back to talking about Trump, because Obama is gone.
But your
point is that Obama was weak on foreign policy and wouldn't go to war. When he should have gone to war, when Putin invaded the Crimea, when Putin took down the, which he did, obviously took down that Malaysian airline, when he was in part of, he was leading, his forces were leading the insurgency in the eastern part of Ukraine, so to speak. What about Donald Trump? For example, you mentioned war. Can I read a piece about Donald Trump?
You're missing the point there, Joe.
What am I
you're bringing in war. The point I'm getting at this is, in the case of the seven sailors, they were told by the Iranians they'd be shot every day. That cost America. Obama done a deal for $25 million and five pallets were dropped over to Tehran. Now, the point is, there's no war. But if Donald Trump was there, they wouldn't be kidnapped. You're taking 3 weeks ago when there was an Iranian general who was causing more havoc in the Middle East, supplying Iraq and everywhere, and the bombs were blowing up. They iced that Soleimani down at Baghdad airport the same day as they had attacked the American embassy in there. And after that, did you notice one thing? The bombings on Iraq and those stopped. Likewise.
So far.
Okay, well, hold your breath and wait and see. Because Soleimani was the one that made the snowballs for the rest of them to throw it. And likewise, when Trump took office after Obama, we had your man in North Korea coming along, and he was taunting Obama. And he was going to this and he was that. Trump called him the missile man or whatever, yes. Rocket man. Did you notice one thing? How quiet he's gone now. There are no more rockets. There are no more...
There was photography. There was aerial photography last week. He's building a new nuclear plant. But anyway...
The threat of a nuclear war with North Korea subsided. Now, that was part of the reason is because they know one thing with Trump. It's no good testing Trump because I know what thing he'd act. In Obama's case, he would do nothing. He's sat in his arse because he wanted
Justin, that point that Obama didn't retaliate when he should have retaliated, and the foreign powers are more afraid of Trump than they ever were of Obama.
Obama was charismatic. That was the beautiful word. He was so charismatic and sweet, and he wanted to keep up that image.
Okay,
Mike, fine,
let Justin back in. Justin, you're...
Here's my take on Barack Obama and everything that he was about. He was largely about trying to find solutions that didn't involve war, fighting, and conflict. And I have to hand it to the man for that. Now, you could say that he was sort of weaker internationally in terms of those kind of things. But, you know, if you look at now, we're in a completely different world at the moment. And the lead up to it has been literally, at least from my perspective here, has been a kind of rolling chaos. Like, the things that I hear and I've heard come out of Donald Trump and out of Donald Trump's government worry me for the fact that I have two small children here. I've actually got four children because I've got two stepkids as well. Worry me for their future here when, you know, the government has become destabilized. It's not reacting like you'd expect a government to react. I mean, you know, look at Ireland's leader. Look at Leo Varadkar.
I want to stick with Donald Trump. Did you, Mike? Well, Helen O'Driscoll. Helen, good afternoon. 51551. Wash your hands. You're listening to the discussion. Go ahead, Helen.
Oh, I am. What do you want to know?
You contacted us.
There's an awful lot. You're covering an awful lot there. I mean, are you talking about COVID? Are you talking about the Trump administration, the Obama administration?
We're talking about Trump. He is the president.
Just take the COVID situation and WHO, for example, he shut down travel from China in January and... At that time.
But he didn't shut it down totally now, despite what he says.
No, not totally.
No, let's be clear about that now.
No, you're quite right. He didn't shut it down. He shut it down from the region. 40,000 people came back, but these were expats or people who had green cards.
They still came back.
But
they weren't quarantined when they came back.
But that's where you have the states, and what you have in the United States is 50 separate countries, really, with their own rules. And that's what people don't understand here.
I want to let Helen finish. Okay.
The
World Health Organization.
The World Health Organization, the problem there is that there should have been an investigation immediately. Because if their whole reason for being is identify and contain the pandemic, and it was known in December, what were they doing all the way through January?
Correct.
All the way through January.
Okay, so
then we had politicians. I'll just say, in New York and in particular San Francisco, who were coming out and telling people to go to Chinatown, hug Chinese people, celebrate the Chinese New Year, and all this nonsense, because they wouldn't say we need to look into this and see if it's. It was absolute madness, complete madness.
And Donald Trump was organising rallies in the middle of the pandemic. I want to address the issues today, okay?
Right.
He's issued this savage letter about the World Health Organization.
Yes.
He's given them a month. He said, I'm gone, we're gone. He's already attacked them. What do you think of our Minister for Health, Simon Harris?
I think he's great.
Okay. Mike, what do you think? Is Mike gone? What do you think of our Minister for Health, Simon Harris? Mike. Okay, Helen, you like him anyway. You think he's good.
I think that nobody got everything right.
Okay.
Can I give you this?
Mike, do you admire, like the Minister for Health in Ireland, Simon Harris?
Yes, I do.
Would you trust him?
I do, and I voted
for
him.
Okay, well, good man. I want to say one thing about the World Health Organization, that our Minister for Health tweeted in the last few hours in response to what Donald Trump has done. This is what Simon Harris said. Ireland is a proud, who both of you admire, Ireland is a proud member of the World Health Organization. Now, more than ever, needs it and needs multilateralism. Imagine the pressure those in the World Health Organization are under, and imagine the kick in the gut they feel when they face pathetic, silly political attacks. Thank you, World Health Organization, for all you do.
So what? Reward failure? Is that what we do?
An Irish government minister is saying the President of the United States is pathetic and silly.
That's beneath his office, and he really should have looked into it more before he got into that. What do we do? They behave so badly, as far as I'm concerned, all the way through January and into February, and we decided that we'd increase by fourfold our contribution to them. There's thousands of people dead over this. I mean, it's not good enough to turn around and say, let's all work together if the thing is failing.
Thank you, Helen.
I think the World Health Organization could be a wonderful thing, but there's obvious problems there.
Helen, there's a snake at the wheel.
Mike, these are all cliches. What does that mean, they're asleep at the wheel? What does that mean in English?
The World Health
What's that mean in any language?
When the pandemic started first, they were asleep at the wheel. They did nothing about it. And there's one thing I'll say to you or to both of the other people there. If you dislike Donald Trump so much, there's an election later this year.
I know that.
But you can oust him.
Yeah.
But I will vote for him because why? Because there is nobody in the Democratic Party.
Okay, I know that. Mike, I want to be fair to everybody, but didn't Donald Trump? It's hard to go through all the things he said, which were he's now denying. Didn't he say initially when he heard from the World Health Organization about the pandemic that it was a fake?
No,
that it would go away in a few days.
No,
Angela, okay, Helen,
you
can go back in a minute. Get a pen and paper. I need one to keep track of all the allegations and the things that have been said about Trump. Angela Logue. Angela, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What's your position, Angela?
Well, I understand that Donald Trump is taking a drug called Plaquenil, which is that drug that he mentioned. And I have a thing called systemic lupus erythematosus, commonly known as lupus.
Yeah.
And I need that drug. It's the only drug that I can take that solves my lupus problem. But my pharmacist found difficulty last month in sourcing them because so many people had decided to take them as the rumor went around that it had something to do with COVID. But there was a rheumatologist on Sarah McInerney this morning, and she said that they had absolutely no good for COVID.
Well, I know in the States, when he mentioned Plaquenil, which is about 4 weeks ago, there was a run on the pharmacies in the States for that product.
Yeah, and the same here.
I didn't know there was a shortage here.
Well, my pharmacist was able to get it eventually, but there was, you know, I only got half my dose. It came in halves rather than a month's dose. Yeah.
Yeah, that could have been something to do with the fact that the main supplier is India, and a couple of months ago they slowed down what they were distributing out, which was a lot like the PPE and a lot of the other things. I'm afraid that's really where that.
Yeah, but part of it is that the President of the United States of America said, unfounded, by the way, that Plaquenil might help with COVID-19. And there was a run on it. He's the same with hydroxychloroquine.
Well, that's what that is.
It's fish tank cleaner as well, but, you know, nobody was running out and getting... that.
But the consultant rheumatologist this morning said that it affects your hair. Your hair falls out. So maybe he'll.
And how are you managing at the moment, Angela? Have you got enough?
Yes, I have enough supply at the moment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Stay well. It's a difficult challenge, isn't it, Lupus? It really is. Thanks, Angela Logue. 51551, wash your hands. Bill O'Donoghue has contacted us from the United States of America. Bill, you're listening, I think. Go ahead.
I am listening, and I probably missed the last few minutes, so I apologise.
Okay.
But I just really, you know, we're talking about, you know, the Trump and how he is and what he says and his effects on you know, whether it be the sales of drugs or whatever else. But the reality of all this is, he's abusing the media, has continued to abuse them verbally and through Twitter and everything else. His government continues to move on changing our environmental policies, on taking over large portions of the court now. That's left us in a place where America is going backwards. And it's not just, you know, it's not just from a financial perspective, but it's in how we deal with each other. You know, I spent a lot of time in Chicago, and we're a very divided city regardless. But the divisiveness of this president has been absolutely horrific. You know, with people just focused on their own little lives and not really focusing on what's gone on for the last 4 years. So, and we might have another 4 years, which is really concerning for us all and for the world, I think.
Mm-hmm. Alexander, I'll come back to you in a sec, Bill. Alexander Webster is in Bettystown in County Meath. Go ahead, Alexander.
Good afternoon, Joe. The conversation has moved on a little bit, but mm-hmm. it's basically in relation to a previous caller. I was just thinking, you know, Donald Trump, love him or hate him, I mean, as an Irish national residing or working or living in the United States, I don't think they have any place criticising or running down the leader of that country. I mean, for example, could you imagine a foreign national in his country running his mouth off about our country and our leaders?
That's allowed.
I don't think it's right, really.
Well, they've been on Liveline.
Pardon?
They've been on Liveline. Same people from direct.
Well, they have,
from direct provision centres.
These Irish nationals are making good living in the United States. Can you imagine a foreign national in this country running down our state?
Yes,
or
I can. Yes, I can.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Well said.
That's no worries. There's no. They're entitled to it, but they're entitled to do it if that's what they believe. But what do you think? I'll refer you to what our Minister for Health said about Donald Trump this morning in a tweet, and that is, he said, silly, petty, political pandering. I'll try and get it back up off the lads upstairs. But our Minister for Health launched a scathing attack on Donald Trump. Scathing. Alexander, do you think that's allowed, Alexander?
I think we need to get our own house in order, really, before we start criticising other.
And why are they mutually exclusive? Like when in any country in the world ever get to a stage where they'll say, we have actually got our own house in order? There's always challenges in any country, democratic or otherwise. But what do you think of what the Minister for Health said about Donald Trump?
I'm sorry, Joe, I can't really comment on that because I didn't hear that.
Well, I'll read it out to you in a second if I can get a copy of it back down to me. He said, Ireland is a proud member of the World Health Organization. Now more than ever, Ireland needs it and needs multilateralism. Imagine the pressure those in the World Health Organization are working under, and imagine the kick in the gut they feel when they face pathetic, silly political attacks. Kick in the gut. Pathetic, silly political attacks from your president, from the President of the United States of America. Do you think we shouldn't criticise?
No, I don't believe we should.
Okay, but why? Have I fallen asleep and woken up in North Korea or something?
Exactly. Alexander. What world is it presumed that you can't speak honestly against a government just because you're not a citizen of that country?
Alexander, that's Bill asking a question from the States.
My original message to Liveline was in relation to residents of the United States who are very critical of Donald Trump in general, who are making their living in the United States. My original comment was not in regard to what Simon Harris may have said this morning in regard to the organisation.
On the radio now, is it?
Yeah, but Bill, Alexander's referring to people like you, I presume. I don't know, are you originally from Ireland, but you're making a living in the States? What do you think of Alexander's point that you should keep your breath to cool your porridge?
And I think that's an interesting way of thinking of it, when the whole foundation of this country was built on immigrants like myself who added to the country, added our services, and because of our freedom of speech, have the right, and not only the right, but we have an obligation to speak up when we see something is wrong.
Mike Keller, did you want to come back in there, Mike?
Well, Joe, I'm listening to the whole scenario, but the man whose name came in there and said, the case of any immigrant and especially Irish immigrants working in the United States. I don't think we should be those people over there should be shouting off their mouth and criticising their president, because there's one other thing, Joe, about it. We're in a bit of trouble at the moment. We will be financially when this thing comes to an end. We're very dependent upon here in Ireland of multinationals. Most of them are from the United States, and it's not if Donald Trump.
And they're here for a reason.
Okay, okay, let me finish now.
They weren't dragooned under armed threats to land here. They're here because it's a great educated workforce, and two, it's a very stable country.
And
three, in some cases, geography and climate. Four, in terms of sourcing ingredients. Five, member of the EU. And six, because they pay no tax.
They pay some, George. You're correct. You're totally wrong there, George.
Most workers...
Look at the amount of taxation that multinationals pay.
They pay... In reality, I know it's 12.5%, but in reality it's less than 10%. And the truth is that those pharma companies pay less tax on their profits, not their income, on their profits, than every worker in those factories pay on their income, which can be up to 50%. Anyway, Mike, sorry, that point about that Alexander made... That if you're in the States, you shouldn't criticise the hand that feeds you. But, Mike, would you criticise Leo Varadkar or Micheál Martin or Mary Lou McDonald if you felt...
When I was living in the States, I would equally criticise presidents or anybody I didn't think was functioning. That's it. But the point, just to get back to the economic side of it for a moment, we keep criticising our president, we keep criticising these things. It's very easy for some of these multinationals. If they were coming here, they can equally go. And the day they gone, we'd be in the fertiliser business, trust me.
I know. Well, we can't, anyway, I take that point. But as I said, they're here for not just one reason, about 10 reasons. Pat O'Sullivan, 51551, wash your hands, 1857-15815, Pat. Donald Trump.
I wouldn't have a lot of time for Donald Trump, really.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to... there's a reason why he got elected. And his strong point, whether you agree with his politics or not, is probably the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, he has... He's very little to offer. He's no real experience in the political sphere. He's
how do you think he's handled the coronavirus pandemic?
Overall, badly. He did have good CDC people there, like Fauci and Burks at the start. Then he fell out with them when it suited him, because he now wants the economy to recover almost at any cost to get re-elected. And he has insulted an awful lot of people.
But this guy got elected on fear and racism, nothing else.
Really?
Small-minded fears and racism. And that's what got him elected, and that may get him elected again.
Yeah, he at his rallies, he plays it very well. It's some more or less educated areas. He will go very racist to an extreme by calling all Mexicans racist. And then he'd say, in another venue, he'll say that they're nice people. You know, he will swing with the breeze. But I think maybe his opposition that has come up against him in the Democratic Party wouldn't be the greatest, in my opinion, either.
Mike, stay there, Pat. Mike, do you take the Irish Examiner every day? Would you read the Examiner, given you're in Watford? Did you get it today?
No, I didn't. Okay. I'm working, King. I'm driving my digger today.
Good man. Because there is an excoriating piece by Fergus Finlay, former government press secretary, former advisor to Dick Spring, former chairperson of Barnardo's, etc., etc., chief executive of Barnardo's. There's an excoriating piece about Donald Trump, which he calls lunatic, deranged. It goes on, the man who evaded military service tries to make himself via Twitter the hero of a battle to save the world on the day when he should be paying tribute to men and women who fought for the country. It's phony, cheap, ugly, and it goes on and on and on. The biggest the campaign, which is Trump's full backing, depends on the biggest lie in American political history. And then he goes on, he talks about Adolf Hitler, Goebbels, and Goebbels' line is, as you know, if you tell a big lie, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. And he's quoting that in an excerpt. Don't read it, Mike. I worry about your blood pressure if you did. Colin McCormack. Colin, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Thanks very much. Yeah. No, I just wanted to register how appalled I am at how disrespectful Irish people are to the American president. Donald Trump is a very pragmatic individual and has dealt with an unprecedented situation in the States. He inherited discredited individuals like Fauci, who has shares in the Wuhan laboratory. Mm-hmm. And
do you want to give me the source for that? And we'll, the fact checkers will go through it.
Well, undoubtedly they will. So perhaps at another time I can send it into your program.
So Fauci has shares in the Wuhan. And what does that mean? He's corrupt, is it?
Well, he may be somewhat biased in his viewpoint. I mean, the conversation started off with regard to the hydroxychloroquine, the azithromycin, and the zinc. And that is undoubtedly the means of dealing with the coronavirus.
Says who?
Well, perhaps you beg to know better, but the Indian Health Service have been using it as a prophylactic during the course of the pandemic, which incidentally, you know, the World Health Organization, which is undoubtedly a discredited organization.
In your view, but not undoubtedly.
You don't speak for...
Most of the governments in the world, when you say the World Health Organization is undoubtedly discredited.
Yes.
In your view, it's discredited.
Yes, in my view, it's a discredited organization.
That's fine, yeah.
I take your point there, Joe. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that's all. I just wanted to register.
And how are Irish people disrespectful to President Trump, Donald Trump of the United States of America?
The terminology used, where you had an individual there living in America insinuating that you know his child would be talking about the how come Sonny doesn't assassinate Donald Trump. I don't think that sort of conversation or language is very, very helpful.
I think I made that point.
I think possibly you should have picked him up on it.
I did pick him up on it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Sorry, no, I did say, yeah. Did I not say, you can't say that, the Secret Service, it is...
You did say it slightly tongue-in-cheek,
Joe. Oh, did I? Okay.
And listen, you know, you do a good job there presenting, you have a difficult task. So.
I appreciate you calling in, Colm. And Colm, in terms of how Irish people are disrespectful, do you think every time they mention Donald Trump's name, they should say Donald Trump, President Trump, or Donald Trump, President of the United States of America?
Yeah, well, there's a huge number of companies in Ireland, American companies, whether it be pharmaceutical and so forth.
And he wants them back.
Yes, and I think, as we know, or as I seem to know, under President Trump's guidance, you know, America has had the least number of Mexicans unemployed, the least number of coloured black people unemployed. So from an economy perspective, America has done very, very well under Donald Trump.
Colm, this is BC, before COVID.
Yes.
Things have changed dramatically, unfortunately, and it's how we handle things today.
Sure, but I think we, you know, it behoves us to be somewhat respectful towards, you know, our American neighbours who have always been great allies to Ireland. And
what do you think of the Minister for Health's tweet then about, which is obviously about Donald Trump and his attack on the WHO?
All I would have to say is the Children's Hospital. I mean, never before has any. But he managed to do such a poor job as a minister for health. You know, building a hospital that should have cost $500 million.
He's overseeing
it. He is the minister for health. Okay. The Children's Hospital.
But what do you think? Okay, this is whataboutry. But what do you think of what he said, Colm? With respect, our minister for health, a member of our government, said about the president of the United States of America, and he says it's a kick in the gut when they face pathetic, silly political attacks.
Yeah, well, when it comes to hydroxychloroquine, thousands and thousands of medical practitioners, Simon Harris is not, and that's for sure.
But he takes guidance.
Yeah, well, he takes guidance from Mr. Holohan, who, you know, and that's well documented, Yes?
What are you going to say about Tony Holohan?
UCD commendations from Fauci with Tony Holohan.
Say again?
There are documents which I have seen commending Holohan.
Yeah. That's probably every editorial in the Irish newspapers in the last month.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, no, well, I'd like to see a more independent health service, that we don't have to all sing off the same hymn sheet.
Well, I think if there's any criticism of Tony Holohan, is that he's too independent and the government are following his advice to the letter of the law. I thought that was a criticism.
And how would that work out with the elderly in the homes over the last while?
In the nursing homes, I know that is an issue, and it's an issue in the UK as well.
It's a huge issue, and it's the biggest issue.
Well, it's a very big issue. I agree with you totally, and we've covered it here, and we went back. Colm, I don't know whether you heard the day where the two union reps came out, and interestingly enough, they announced the deal which the government had done with them, and that was that public sector workers in the health services, nearly, 100,000 of them, that they would go in. I think one of the union reps said they would go in and rescue. Once again, the public sector would rescue the private sector. And it turned out to be a load of hooey, to say the least. And basically what they were doing, the unions did a deal. It was a union deal because they're the ones that announced it. And with the result that very few health workers went into the nursing homes. In fact, as we heard on this programme, Colm, and you probably, I hope you heard it, nursing homes were on to us saying their staff were being poached by the HSE. So there is a lot of questions. I agree with you. There is a lot of questions.
Yeah, there is.
When this draws down, what did happen to nursing homes? Is it because they weren't unionised that they were left behind and hung out to dry?
Well, Joe, I think that will be the most salient question of all, when this, which inevitably it will blow over, this will be the most salient question, how the nursing homes were left to deal, where we have 1,000 and something deceased people and 800 or so from the nursing homes. How was that allowed to happen? You know, New Zealand has a population of 5 million, an island nation such as ourselves. Sometime 2 weeks ago, they had 16 deaths.
I know, and we covered it with Professor Eamon O'Brien from Auckland, and he put forward a whole list of theories, most of them that could have been taken up here. But anyway, stay with us if you would, Colm.
Joe, thanks for giving me a time. Slightly disconcerted because I'm out in a...
Okay, you sound...
In a factory floor, so...
No, but you sound very, very logical. Mark Kelly is in Chicago, if you can stay with us, Colm. You agree with Colm about the language. Make a point, Mark, and I appreciate your call.
Hey, I just want to say that it was pretty disturbing to hear the language about Hitler and Goebbels.
That's in today's Irish Examiner, yes.
Yeah, but so it's. I don't think it's fair. I think, you know, the coverage of Trump in general is pretty negative. And, you know, I don't think they're giving fair and balanced coverage of Trump. People may dislike him personally, but that does not mean that he is not doing a good job for regular working people. That, you know, I used to vote Democrat myself, but I couldn't do it in the last election. You know, I voted for Obama once, but I certainly couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. And, you know, is Donald Trump's personality the greatest ever? No, but I think the big picture is he's elected the president of the U.S. Mm-hmm. and that's what he's putting the U.S. first. And, you know, it's I think you got to be fair and you got to be balanced, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, I listen to RTE as much as I can when I'm driving to work in the morning. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that they give a fair and balance, and that's only my opinion. And, you know,
that's your intent. Yes, absolutely.
You know, that's and the way. And the other gentleman that's calling from Chicago, I don't, you know, to say that Donald Trump is racist, and I know that's his opinion and he's entitled to it, but I do not feel that 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 is correct. You know, I don't believe that. I think that minorities in the city of Chicago and all over have done very, very well since Donald Trump was elected, mm-hmm. because he's created a better atmosphere and more confidence for businesses and small businesses. And deregulation, you know, it's just not about big things, it's about small mm-hmm. things that help smaller businesses to survive. You know,
that's
the reality on the ground.
Are you familiar with those websites? I think it's the Washington Post or the New York Times do it as well, but there's a number of websites that keep track, so to speak, of what they say, which in most cases have been proven by fact checkers, are lies told by Donald Trump. And he's told, they say, over 5,000 individual lies and repeated some of them up to 146 times.
Yeah, I heard the thing, like I said before, is Donald Trump's personality and is it ideal?
But it's
not ideal. But the big picture is that he's doing a good job for regular working people and mm-hmm. people that the Democratic Party have totally forgotten. And that's just the reality. The Democratic Party, when I came here, represented ordinary working people, and they've seemed to have drifted mm-hmm. from that to, you know, I would consider myself a kind of in the middle, and mm-hmm. I would have conservative views. You know, I would have been a conservative Democrat, but apparently the middle has shifted so far that I have no idea where I am now.
And Mark, are you originally from Ireland, can I ask?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Okay. Conal Sullivan Conn is in Kerry. Your point, please, Conn. Go ahead.
I think most of these decisions Mr. Trump is taking at the moment is to just designed to get him re-elected. You know, like trying to get the country back early, all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, he's going against his own advisors mm-hmm. and encouraging, like, the people in Michigan to rise up against the governor. I pictures of these people on television carrying AK-47s around the streets, like, you know, Joe, and he's there supporting them in tweets. You know, that's not right for it. This is a US president we're talking about, not the Simpsons, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the decisions he's making is blame the WHO and blame China, blame anyone but me, you know? Get me re-elected. And I honestly believe
in fairness, like, China do have a strong, to say the least, influence over the World Health Organization. I think people will be surprised to hear that America contributes 10 times as much to the WHO as China do. And also, China, the WHO Health Organization will not let Taiwan in as an independent, even though they're doing very well against the pandemic. They will not let Taiwan in as an independent country into the World Health Organization because of, wait for it, pressure from China. Isn't that correct?
Well, I'm not sure.
China doesn't recognize Taiwan because they say Taiwan is in their view part of China. So let's see how that. There's a vote on that the weekend, isn't there, to let Taiwan into the WHO. Let's see, will China's influence wane or stay? Stay with us, Con. James Quinn. James, you are here. Where are you based, James?
I'm in San Francisco, John.
Oh, you're in San Francisco. Okay.
I'll walk into the August minute.
Good man, and. Is San Francisco on lockdown, James, by the way?
It is. My wife's a teacher, so she teaches from home. The kids are learning from home with Zoom. There is a slight easing of restrictions. I'm in construction. We're allowed work. So,
Shops
have opened for curbside pickup, but for the most part, bars, restaurants, all that stuff is closed, at least until the end of May.
Yes, well, Ireland is much longer than that, but it's quite similar at the moment. What do you think of this debate about Donald Trump? You're based in the States.
See, Joe, like, I called in 4 years ago when he was being elected, and I said the man would be a disaster. Now, I'm in construction, so I'm going to be honest with you. He's been great for us, but, you know, and I'd be straight up, I wouldn't be a fan of Trump now or anything like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I will say is the Democrats have had 4 years fucking... excuse my language, to beat him, and the best we've come up with is Biden stuck in his basement, doting, you know? So, unfortunately, I think, it depends on who you talk to, I don't see him being beaten the next election right now. You know, And the whole stuff about Fauci, somebody mentioned the Fauci thing earlier that he shares in Wuhan. All that stuff was debunked by 60 Minutes, and that's only put out by websites like QAnon. And
we just upstairs have been Googling away trying to find connections between Anthony Fauci and any references in newspapers or websites.
And there is,
there is none. There is none, no.
No, no, that's all. And there's a lot of websites over here like QAnon. I think the internet... It's kind of, you know, it's a blessing and it's also a curse because it gives clowns. And, you know, it's like you said about the lies, the more you repeat it, the more people are inclined to believe it. Yeah. And that's kind of the Republican Party for the last 12 years, I think, really, you know.
But James, who, insofar as you want to tell me, who would you vote for in November?
Oh, I will vote Democrat.
Oh, will you? Okay,
even though I probably... Even though, Joe, that's voting against my own pocketbook, to be straight up to you, you know what I mean? Trump has been great as far as tax breaks and all that, but I think just for humanity's sake, I'd vote a Democrat over a Republican.
Okay, James Quinn. Stay safe, James, and you and your family in San Francisco. And your dog, by the way, as he's out walking.
Yeah. Okay. Love to go.
Okay, thanks, James. Appreciate it. Vivian Rooney. Vivian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for contacting. You're the person I was talking to, referring to when I mentioned to Mark that we'll have someone from the States who's living in Ireland. Mark is someone from Ireland living in the States and very pro-Trump. You're from the States living in Ireland and very
I'm actually Irish.
Oh, you're Irish,
okay. I've lived in the States for 31 years and now I have returned.
And whereabouts in the States did you live for over three
decades?
I lived
in Fairfax, Virginia.
Wow.
Very nice place.
Okay. So what's your opinion of Donald Trump?
Oh, my goodness. I could go on forever.
Off you go.
I mean, honestly, he doesn't care about the ordinary person. Right now, he doesn't care about anybody's health. All this that's going on at the moment, bringing in all the states to open up and everything, and they haven't flattened the curve. So initially, that's what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And now he's gotten rid of Fauci, and he just... does what he likes, basically. I mean, I could go on forever, but
have you children? If you if you lived there for 31 years, sorry, Vivian, would you have children and grandchildren there?
I have three children, yes, and grandchildren, and I worry about them every day.
Okay.
Now I listen to CNN, and I was a Republican initially.
Okay.
But I did vote for Obama. Now, they talk about the economy and Trump doing so good for the economy and all the jobs creating all these things. Well, let me tell you, it was started by Obama in 2008 when he got all the car companies, bailed out the banks, everything. That started an upward trend. Then Trump comes in and he just... All the big corporations support him. That's where he's paid off by the NRA, gun laws, everything. He doesn't care about the ordinary person in America. Mm-hmm. And part of that stimulus package, which I got, $1,200.
Well, you got it, did you? Okay.
I did, actually.
How did you get it if you're living in Ireland?
Well, my son, I go back and forth, actually, before this.
Okay.
For medical reasons, I used to go back and forth every 6 months.
Okay.
And I have a place in my son's house. You know, we have our own section. And
So you're resident there as well. So
I'm resident there as well. So I have just made arrangements to do both by mail, which Trump doesn't like. He doesn't think it's you know, whatever. Anyway, so I'm hoping that I can do that. But seriously, look at the way he treated the immigrant children, everything. I could go on forever.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, it's just big corporations. And when he gave the bailout, it was the big corporations that got most of it. And some of them gave it back when they saw, I mean... Honestly, my son was in college down in South Carolina. And going through Georgia and North Carolina, all these states, the poverty is something else. Another thing I want to say, thanks to Obamacare, people have health care. Now, there's no such thing as free healthcare in America. God help you if you get sick or anything over there. You know, it's just awful. And when I hear people saying about how good he is and how he got the economy back so well and everything, you know, okay, he mm-hmm. did, you know, a certain amount. But, and now he's trying to, the people's lives are in danger at the moment. And he's supposed to be wearing a mask. When Vice President Pence went into the Mayo Clinic, the rule was you wear a face mask. He went in there and didn't wear it, just because Trump doesn't agree with wearing them. That's no example to give.
Okay, let me Vivian, I want to bring Mark Kelly. And Mark, do you want to, you're based in Chicago, you're originally from Ireland. What do you think of what Vivian is saying, Mark?
Well, I think she's entitled to whatever she says, but I think there's a whole lot of she's repeating whatever she's hearing on CNN. You know, I don't, you know,
no,
I really don't want to, because there's so much she said. There's so much she said. There's so much that she said, and some of it could be partially right. You know, there's degrees of what is factual and not factual, and it all gets blurred, and people can go on, you know, and extend it. Not a rant, but to say, if you dislike Trump, that's fine, you dislike Trump. I can only tell you what I find. I found that the economy here is better. I think there's a lot of Irish guys that I know that are in construction. They would tell you that things have improved, that deregulation has helped, you know, smaller businesses. I can only just tell you what I know, and not what, you know, I want to keep the emotional or dislike out of it. You know, he's done a good job. You know, Chicago is doing pretty well, so it is. Yeah. And, you know, Donald Trump has done a good job, in my opinion. So,
And Mark, what Vivian said about poverty, and it's not nothing like Ireland, but what is the safety net in the United States of America?
Well, I don't know. I just get up and I go to work every day, so that's all I know. You know, if you show up at a hospital, you're not going to get turned away. It's, you know, do you need insurance? Yes, you need health insurance. So that's part of the system. It's part of, you know,
and if you can't afford health insurance, Mark.
Yeah, but if you need to go to a hospital in an emergency situation, you'll be taken care of. You know, so now fortunately, you know, I have health insurance. I work every day. I do, you know, I do whatever I do, and you know, like. The system, you know, I have nothing negative to say about it, you know what I mean? Because maybe I haven't experienced the downside of it. But, you know, here's all I can tell you, Joe, is the only thing, last time that I checked, the queues are to come into America. The queues aren't to leave America, no matter what anybody says or you know, whether they like it or they... You know, people are free to choose. If you don't want to be here, that's fine. If you don't like the government, you vote... You cast your vote, and that's the way it is. And you know, Trump won the last election, and people have spent all this time since he was elected crying about the result of an election. So they just, you know, that's okay if you're in the business of commentary and you're making a living out of being on TV or radio or whatever. But for regular people, they just get up and they go to work in the morning. So they do, you know. So. All I know is it has been better for the last 4 years, and I hope it continues to be better, you know. And I have no problems with Donald Trump, you know, with what he's doing right now. So that's all I can tell you.
Thanks, Mark, and kind regards to you and your family, and stay safe. Catherine Berglund McLaughlin. Catherine, good afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, Joe.
And thank you for contacting us. Donald Trump.
A lot of people ask us if he's the reason that we immigrated to Ireland last July, and my American husband often replies, he's the symptom, he's not the disease. The disease is that no matter what he does, over 100 million Americans still think he's awesome and he can do no wrong. And we didn't want to live in a country full of people like that anymore.
And did you leave because of what Donald Trump stood for?
We left because of what over 100 million Americans stood for.
Which is Donald Trump.
Misogyny, racism, unfairness, the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer, no gun laws to speak of. The number one reason for personal bankruptcy being medical bills. I mean, I'd have to talk for the rest of your show to explain all the things that are wrong with my husband's country.
And did you flee the United States?
It was a meditated decision. When Trump won the election, we did the paperwork to get my husband his Irish passport and my son his Irish citizenship. I had been Irish since about 1990, thanks to my grandfather from Donegal. And I made my husband Irish when we were newlyweds. And it was Trump's election that got us to do the last paperwork.
And, like, how did you, when you came to Ireland, did you have any jobs or income or?
No. We had a nest egg from selling our house in West Seattle.
Okay.
And I have a countless number of third cousins in Sligo, Donegal, and Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
And one particular cousin in Tulla who is amazing.
So, and where did you, from the States, where did you decide to live in Ireland?
We meant to live in Galway, but we couldn't find a school that would accept our son, so we ended up in Dublin.
And why wouldn't they, is that because of space reasons?
Oh, that's a really long story that has nothing to do with Trump.
Okay. So you're settled in Dublin. How are you managing income-wise, employment-wise?
My husband has a good job at a multinational pharmaceutical company, and he's working from home.
Okay.
I got laid off from teaching English as a foreign language to a bunch of lovely Brazilians and Mexicans in March. And we're doing okay. And we thank the stars above every day for the fact that we have a lovely house in South Dublin and that we're not in that crazy country and that we have a job. And
Catherine, have you ever lived in Ireland before?
No, I bicycled around the country the whole island, in 1991.
That is some, but that is some decision to come and live in a country you haven't lived in. Okay, you have third cousins, to come and find a house and a new job and schools and all that, carry on, to uproot. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're saying I am putting words in your mouth. You fled the U.S. because of Donald Trump and what he represents and all those who support him represent.
Right. Well, it was never my country. I just lived there. I used to joke that I was a prisoner of war.
Well, were you born?
Freudian slip. A prisoner of love.
And where were you born, Catherine?
I'm a Canadian.
Okay. It gets more complicated.
And I could never get American citizenship because they have to take an oath of allegiance. You can look it up on the internet. It is not the pledge of allegiance. It is the oath of allegiance. And I went to the ceremony of an acquaintance, and you have to pledge to bear arms and defend America, even if it's against the country of your birth, and cut all ties with your former homeland. And they have all kinds of interpreters there so that if you don't speak English, they'll understand if you're not actually saying it. It was creepy. To become Irish, I had to send in some photos and money and 5 certificates showing I was the legitimate granddaughter of a man from Donegal. There was no pledging allegiance to the Pope or the Queen or anything.
Thank God. Thank God. Grania, your point, please. You're very welcome, Grania.
Oh, hi, Joel. Thank you for having me.
Yep. You say
very interesting discussion you're having.
Okay, and it's going to get more interesting with your contribution, I hope, and it's about the Chinese origin is very complex. Go ahead.
Well, you're talking about Trump, and actually, you know, he's got a lot of personal attributes and expressions, perhaps, that we would find as offensive in some way, or at least not polite and so forth. But he has been able to call out the strongmen of the world, and we're thinking of, well, China and just the economic power of China and the power that that economic power has over the lives of other people. So when it came to the coronavirus, we're still trying to get the full details and data out of there of what happened really at the beginning, and that's still forthcoming. So there's a lot of complex situations connected with the coronavirus, but Trump has been the one person to call it out, and he called out the WHO, which certainly needs some investigation how they handled it in the early days. They delayed calling it a pandemic. They delayed calling China to task on it.
I think they called it a pandemic long before Donald Trump did, President of the United States.
Well, he wouldn't be the person to call it anyhow. That's not his.
Well, he said it was a flu, which would, there was how many, he keeps saying how many deaths were there on May, whatever date. I think he was the last to call it a pandemic, and then he said he was the first to call it a pandemic.
Well, he calls it the China virus. That's there it is. No, well, I'm just, my main point really is the fact that it's a very complex situation, and it's a complex situation economically and politically. And he has been the one power or the one leader in the world that has been able to take a stand on certain issues that really resonate with other people.
Okay.
We watch this on the
sidelines. Grania, let me put that to Maureen Ryan. Maureen, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Grania says Donald Trump is a good president. He's the only one who's been able
to
stand...
No, I didn't say the word good. I didn't say good.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I said he's the power. He has the capacity to call out.
Yeah. Well, that's good, isn't it, in your view?
I'm not going to put those kind of things on it. That's a moral.
No, I didn't mean in the moral
judgment.
Sense.
No,
I didn't mean
no. I mean he's been an effective president, shall I say?
Okay, well that's good.
Internationally, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Really,
Maureen.
He's been effective.
I have to say, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt. Okay, because I really can't listen to that anymore. I mean, an effective president. I don't know how you can call him internationally effective, because if he is, and I can't see that in any way, I'm from the States, born and bred in the States, luckily have had all my grandparents from Kerry and my father is from Kerry. And I moved back to Ireland 40 years and gone back and forth from here to the States. And since this president, that's what you want to call him, has taken over the country, what I see is him, I can't believe, the effective leader, which is he is, which is was one of the best countries in the whole of the world, and had leaders that were renowned. And Abraham Lincoln happens to be one of my favorite leaders of the United States, has led people, especially in time of crisis. That is when a leader shows up. Donald Trump is still to this day, despite everything, not leading the country, and is instead dividing my country and dividing the people in them. And my fear is that, like Abraham Lincoln faced, we are facing a civil war in the United States because of the divisiveness of this president.
I'm looking at the international scene. I'm looking at
I don't care about the international scene. To say he called out China, all he wants to do is blame China and to put his tension on China so that his faux pas and his insane comments with over 1.5 million people infected in the United States and over 90,000 more than we lost in Vietnam is the war that was part of my youth growing up, and people I knew died of it. That war was divisive in our country enough.
Sure,
we have 90,000, over 90,000 citizens, where people I know have said to me, well, they had to die of something.
Okay.
I mean, and these are people who I consider decent human beings in the United States. I don't know what's happening in America, but Donald Trump, I'm not blaming him completely because I believe he's part of him and his cronies. But I also think when you look at the Senate leaders and other people like that, he is, like a lot of people say, a symptom of it.
Okay, I'd like to make
a point there. Yes, I'd like to make a point that one of the things I'm hearing in the discussions, and that is that there's a lot of confusion about what the national government does. And then the power that each state has. So much of the...
Grania, I want to come back to your point that this argument, he stands up. It's been made 4 or 5 times in the program. He stands up to China. Well, didn't he say he had a beautiful meeting with Xi a few weeks ago and they were about to do a trade deal? He stands up to Russia. Sure, he believes Russia before he believes the American intelligence agencies about Russia interference.
Well,
he stands up to North Korea. That lunatic is back building nuclear plants as of last week. You know what I mean? And we had a beautiful meeting. What does that mean?
Right. Now, Joe, you see, again, you have to see beyond the rhetoric and the way he handles the situation. Like he's as one person said, he's on one leg and then before the you can understand what he's doing. He's a very intelligent person, and he's not just a fumbler. Now the situation is very complex internationally, And the economic situation with China, and I did say in my text that I don't think our health minister did any service to Ireland by his particular type of way
today. Okay. Amy Walsh was a Republican. Amy, you moved to Ireland because of Donald Trump's election.
I did, Joe. I did, and I was the other lady's name Catherine. That was Canadian American.
Yes, yes.
I couldn't agree with her. Every word she said, I couldn't agree with it more.
What primarily led you to flee Trump's America?
And a lot of people told us at the time he could be elected. You know, he could be voted out in 4 years. Why don't you just stay? Why don't you just wait for it? He was a symptom. He wasn't the main sickness. The sickness and the problem was all the people who voted for him would have still been there. And I wasn't born in Canada. I was born unfortunately in the buckle of the Bible Belt in America, in the middle of Texas. And we had to cut off basically all ties with my family over this election.
Wow.
We had thought about moving mainly for the sake of our children. We didn't really want.
Okay.
We didn't want to walk into a fast food restaurant and have pistols loaded on everybody's hip.
Okay, so okay, Amy. Amy, we'll talk to you again because it's a fascinating story. That's another family who left America because of Donald Trump's election. But we're way over time, unfortunately. Fergus Sweeney produced
1850 715 815.